Always check Code of Criminal Procedure Chapter 17, and you'll know after the last special session, there have been changes, even to the fundamentals. 1715 changed a little bit. So you're going to want to go back and look at it. Look at your current version. If you had a book that was published before then, don't trust it. Go back and look it up. Make sure you know the current version. And then it's important, I'm going to repeat this a couple of times because that's probably the number one question I get, is when do the Texas rules of evidence apply? If you take a look in a motion for bail reduction or a motion to set bail, the rules of evidence don't apply. So hearsay all day long, go for it. But if we're talking about raising bail or we're talking about holding someone at no bond, the rules of evidence do apply. So keep that in mind because that's going to help you decide how to present your evidence. So we say most of the time you're entitled to reasonable bail, but there's exceptions to every single rule over and over again. The biggest exception, the first one they started with, was death penalty cases. And it does make sense. A, you've got safety issues, and then B, you also have a pretty heightened flight risk. If your possible outcome is the death penalty, you have a little bit more of an incentive to leave. So for that reason, they have certain standards that have to be met, but the standards aren't exactly what you think they would be. It's not as simple as, oh, I just have to show probable cause that you might be guilty of the offense. Oh, no, no. It's been interpreted to mean that not only would there be substantial showing of guilt, but also that if there's reason to believe a dispassionate jury would assess death. So why does this matter to you? It doesn't come up as often now. But if you think about it, if this is a case with a 17-year-old, death's not even on the table. There should be no reason to have a no bond in that case. High bond, sure. No bond, not so much. If it's one where the state's already announced that they're not going to seek death, again, this exception shouldn't apply. There should be a bail set. So for those reasons, you got to understand when you meet the exception. Now we're going to jump into A, B, and C. A was the first one, as you can tell. That's why there's the most to it. They put a bunch of things in A. It's kind of a clearinghouse of possible reasons not to give bail, why it should be denied on certain cases because of community or public safety. So if you think about it, you have habitual offenders in there, one felony, another felony, deadly weapon, picked up a felony, those sorts of things. They even have violent and sexual offenses, but remember, this was defined many years ago, so it might not be the same crimes you think it is. It is a finite list that is in that section on 11A, so check it every time because it's not necessarily going to have everything, certainly not some of our newer offenses. B is a little bit more interesting. It's one that was neglected and kind of forgotten about for a while, but it's been something that's been on the horizon and it's been addressed more frequently in Harris County. But because it's been less addressed, there's not a lot of case law on it. So when somebody is on bond and they violate a condition of bond or bail that's related to the safety of the community or the victim in a felony or family violence, they can be held at no bond. This correlates to 17.152 of your Code of Criminal Procedure. It's kind of the parallel for it, and it tells you the process for how to do it. But with that in play, remember, if this is something where maybe they were on felony bond and they pick up a new violent offense, that can be looked at as a violation of the safety of the community. So it's actually something that's worth spending some time with. And then last, you have 11C. It's less used, but it is important. It came into play with a lot of our family violence. If someone has violated a protective order, and this includes ex parte temporary orders if they've been served, MOAPs, it also involves the full 2-year, 10-year lifetime protective orders, and they are on a family violence case, they can be held at no bond. So these are ones you're going to see sometimes. I'm not sure our prosecutors are using them as much as they could, but it's important that they can use them, so be prepared. This is the problem with 11A. This is why, even though it has a lot, we don't use it as often. We have very strict timelines. The court has to not only hear the matter, the state has to not only gather and present evidence, the order has to be issued within 7 days of the person going into custody. Well, the other big word there is custody. How will we determine that? There's not a lot of recent case law. There's like 30, 40-year-old case law for what's custody. There's custody in different circumstances. But, I mean, we had one recently where the person was in an accident. I can't remember if they were either shot or they were in a car accident, but they ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks, chained to the bed with a cop outside, but they were in a coma. When did the custody start? So that's a very good question. Didn't get raised, didn't get determined. They decided to go with 11B for that reason. The order also gets automatically revoked in 60 days. So unless it's the delay caused by the defense, because we're kind of in a speedy trial zone there, that's the other reason that 11A is not the most functional. It really just kind of is out there as a brief span of time. And then last but not least, it's such an important one that it gets a preferential appeal to the CCA. It doesn't stop at the COA, it goes straight to the CCA if you read the provision. So keep that in mind, but again, it's rare, it's hard to make. There are official considerations for bail that you're going to see under 1715. They used to include the word discretion, and you'll find that that last legislative session actually took that word out. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. It seems like they're trying to take discretion from the judges, but we still have standards of review that would apply discretion. So that's going to kind of weigh out as time goes on. But the official considerations under 1715 apply unless it meets 17152, that's really 11B, or 17153, which is 11C, their corollary provisions. The court's going to be looking at these different considerations. Is there reasonable assurance the defendant's going to show up and comply with conditions? It cannot be used as an instrument of oppression. What are the nature and circumstances of the offense? What's the defendant's ability to make bail? That's regarded. It's not dispositive, but it's regarded. And safety of the victim and community. And you're going to hear me repeating that because safety of the victim and community is definitely a high priority right now. I don't know about your area, but I can tell you in my area, it's been a definite issue. So it's been high on the agenda of the legislature, but also of the judiciary and certainly of the citizens.